This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
The Bush administration on Wednesday reasserted its broad authority to declare American citizens to be enemy combatants, and it suggested the Supreme Court consider two prominent cases at the same time. The Justice Department, in a file briefed in the court, said it would seek an expedited appeal of a federal appeals court decision last month in the case of Joe Padilla, jailed as an enemy combatant in 2002. The divided Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in New York ruled on December 18th that President Bush lacked the authority to indefinitely detain an American citizen like Mr. Padilla, who was arrested on American soil simply by declaring him an enemy combatant. Insurgents lobbed mortars at a U.S. military base west of Baghdad, killing one soldier and wounding 34. Six mortars struck logistical base jets north of Baghdad Wednesday, hitting soldiers' barracks, U.S. officials said. The toll had earlier been put at 35 wounded, with some of the soldiers listed as seriously injured. The seriously injured soldiers were evacuated for treatment. The latest death toll raised to 216, the number of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq since George Bush declared hostilities over on May 1st. Over the course of the guerrilla's 9-month war of attrition, the rebels have taken to firing mortars off by remote control. George Bush's twin daughters have shown little interest in their family's tradition of public service and are unhappy about the limelight they find themselves in, a new book says. Jenna and Barbara Bush have not campaigned or reined in their adolescent rebellions, Washington Post reporter Ann Gerhardt says in the book published this week, The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. They have not appeared engaged in any of the pressing issues their generation will inherit, nor shown empathy for the struggles facing their mother and their father, Gerhardt says. Word of a new U.S. Army plan to pay soldiers up to $10,000 to reenlist evoked laughter from troops in Iraq. Man, they can't pay me enough to stay here, said a 23-year-old specialist from the Army's 4th Infantry Division as he manned the checkpoint with Iraqi police outside the city of Baghdad. His comments reflect a sentiment not uncommon among soldiers in Iraq since the Army announced the increased reenlistment bonuses for soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait on Monday. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Three Florida fugitives scrambled into an attic to elude police but surrendered when they found a human skeleton in their hideaway, police said on Tuesday. The two men and a woman were wanted on probation violation charges and climbed into the attic to hide when police tracked them to an apartment building in Daytona Beach on Monday. Police searched the apartment and noticed a hatch leading to an attic above a second-story bedroom and opened it. One of the suspects called out, "Get me out of here. There's a dead body up here." The three were arrested and investigators were still trying to identify the skeletal remains. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news. You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have exciting news for those of you who worry that American industry is losing its creative edge. America West Airlines has just implemented a stunning innovation that is certain to revive this sagging industry and assure profits, new jobs, and happy skies as far as the horizon extends. The innovation? Ads on tray tables. Yes, just when you thought that surely there was not another space left anywhere in our country for corporations to put more ads, along comes America West to slap you right in the face with an ad every time you flip down your tray table on one of its flights. The airline is selling ads to cover every tray top on each of its planes, and it already has Visa, Mercedes-Benz, and Bank of America on board for this flighty idea. Advertisers pay $3,300 per plane to hawk their stuff via tray tables to what they call a captive audience. Indeed, an audience literally strapped to its seats. Tray tables are said to be the brainstorm of marketeer Nick Pagic. Seems more like a slight breeze than a brainstorm to me, but this is what passes for innovation in corporate America today. Pagic gushes that ads on tray tops will, quote, be one of the most powerful and influential media. Oh, sure, I'm going to rush off the plane and buy a Mercedes because of an ad on my tray table. No wonder our economy is in trouble. If you think you can escape by flying on some other carrier, America West marketing honcho warns that it seems to be a no-brainer for other airlines to follow suit once we've blazed the trail. It's enough to make you reach for the barf bag. They admit that tray table ads are just a start as airlines seek other ways to jack up their revenues. Yeah, why not run a constant stream of ads over the PA system, or start charging for pillows, or assessing a fee for those who want to have an oxygen mask available to them? This is Jim Hightower saying, or here's a loopy idea. Why not improve service so flying becomes a pleasant experience rather than an ordeal?
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, doggy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. This is Tom Hartman broadcasting live coast to coast on the IE America Radio Network, streaming around the world to more than 100 countries on radiopower.org. And beaming down from outer space on the Sirius satellite, stream 145, soon to change to 143, just as an FYI, an internal change that they're making. In our chat room, which you can get to at tomhartman.com, let's see, Kevin in Lake Tahoe has checked in, and we got our friend in Denmark, I believe, is there. A bunch of folks showing up. Drop into our chat room if you'd like. It's going to be an exciting day. Of course, this is Thursday. In our second hour, we're going to have our Everything You Know Is Wrong segment, where we're going to learn about a huge government installation up in Alaska that is sending gigawatts, that's billions of watts. Think of the heater that you use to heat up your room, you know, it's like 1,000 watts, that's a kilowatt. Gigawatts of energy into the ionosphere. Why are we frying the ionosphere? We're going to find out in our second hour. In this first hour, we're going to have a call from Congressman Tom Tancredo, who is an extremely conservative Republican from Colorado who is very upset with George Bush over the immigration thing, but for different reasons than I am. I want to get into that in this hour. I think this is fascinating. Before I do, just a heads up, has it occurred to you that it's odd that those things that have to do with the Consumer Price Index, that is the measure of inflation in the United States, don't seem to be changing. They don't seem to be changing because the inflation index isn't showing any inflation. And so those things that are tied to it, like, for example, Social Security payments, are not going up. So people who are on fixed incomes, on pensions, on Social Security, in programs that are tied in some way to the rate of inflation, are not seeing any increase. And yet, in the news, we hear health insurance has gone up 18%. The cost of fuel is, oil is over $35 a barrel. Gold is at $410. Not that everybody buys gold, but it's symptomatic. You know, the dollar has dropped 30% against foreign currencies, which makes foreign imports 30% more expensive, except from China, which pegs its currency to the dollar, to the benefit of Walmart. Anyhow, you see all this stuff going on, and it's like,
how come this isn't showing up in the inflation index? I had been wondering this. It's not something I had talked about because I frankly didn't know where to find the numbers. I didn't know how this was figured out. Well, one of our listeners sent me who wishes to remain anonymous sent me a remarkable story. Problems found in U.S. inflation accounting. This is by Dan Spillane. And well, let me just, this just lays it out. This is mind-boggling, folks. Enron accounting comes to the White House. Those are my words. Here's some words from this this article. Two of the main economic gauges used by Wall Street banks and in the calculation of Social Security payments have been found to contain serious math problems. Now, see, what they do is they've got this basket full of things that define the consumer price index, the CPI, and the producer price index, the PPI. And first of all, there's a small problem in that it's heavily weighted towards products, that is, goods, manufactured items, and yet 80% of the American economy now is services. So the fact that it costs more for you to go to a hospital, the fact that it costs more for home health care, the fact that it costs more for, you know, any kind of service, to get your car fixed, those are underweighted. And the fact that things are cheaper at Walmart, keeps this thing down because we're using slave labor. We haven't ended slavery in the United States. Let me rephrase that. We in the United States have not ended slavery. We have merely exported it. So anyhow, but now they're also taking individual items in this market basket of goods and services, and they're changing, or they have changed, what they call the weighting of them. That is, how important they are. Now, it's entirely appropriate, you would think, you know, if you want to accurately know what inflation is like, to do that. I mean, what are the most important things that people, that the average person consumes? You don't want to have a consumer price index that's based entirely on the price of raspberries. You know, not that many people eat them, and when they do, they don't do it that often. You certainly would want something like milk in there that's a staple, or wheat or corn or something like that. Gasoline, things that people regularly use. But here's the interesting thing. Speaking of gasoline, the energy cost weightings of the indices, including fuels and utilities, the weighting has been reduced by 10%. In other words, they're saying, okay, we're going to count the increase in the price of home heating oil, gas, natural gas, and gasoline. We're going to decrease that significance, the significance of that, in our calculations by 10%. Additionally, they have recalculated all the heating fuels so that they even out over the year, so that you don't see these winter increases. And now you would say, okay, that makes a certain amount of sense, you know, because you really want to have a year-long figure. But the reality is, first of all, that the CPI, although it changes from month to month, there's a one annual ding point where it's used to calculate, for example, Social Security payments. So it doesn't matter. It is going to even out over the year. But what's happening is that between now and November and the elections, if they can diminish this dramatic increase in the cost of heating that has happened in the United States in the last few months, some would say in part as a result of the war in Iraq, of all things, that, and you remember when it started going up? You know, that the other nations of the region are concerned and they're upset and they are not going along with the Bush administration. Oil is over $30 a barrel right now. OPEC's official policy is $30 a barrel is the trigger point at which they release more oil and drop the price. And they said, no, we're not going to do that. And it's up around $33, $34 a barrel. Well, this administration is saying, we're not going to count these changes right now because it may go down in the summer. So you and I are experiencing inflation, as are people on fixed incomes, particularly those living on Social Security, but the government is not acknowledging it. And these are numbers, by the way, that are compiled by the executive branch of the government, the administration, not by Congress. The weighting of college, elementary tuition, and child care was reduced between 2001 and 2002. This was done in the first year of this administration. In the housing category, the weighting of hotels and motels was increased right after 9/11. In other words, when nobody was traveling in the months after 9/11, and hotels were incredibly cheap. I remember in December of 2001 getting a hotel room in, now this was in Amsterdam, for $105 for a night, and it was a hotel room that was normally $450 a night, because they were empty. They were just empty. Nobody was, it was 2 months after 9/11. People were terrified to fly. Nobody was traveling. So they increased the weighting of hotels and motels, while at the same time, housing at school, in other words, the cost of college students to pay for their dorms, which have been going up, and rents, which have been going up, got less weighting. And most mind-boggling of all, health insurance has been placed below other cost categories such as pets, toys, and recreational reading material. Talk about playing with numbers. But what I really wanted to get to today, and we're going to get into this, is is the chain gang. What's going on with this Bush administration plan here? Here's a couple of updates, our chain gang updates. Earthlink Inc. is cutting another 1,300 jobs, or 40% of its workforce, and outsourcing that work to call centers of other companies and in other countries. Spokesman Dan Greenfield points out, this is on top, by the way, of 1,300 jobs that they shed last year. Is it because Earthlink is going down? No, says Greenfield. The assumption that we're doing this because business is bad is not a good assumption to make, he says. The assumption is not because of slower sales. The issue is improving operational efficiencies and trying to become profitable in a highly competitive, dynamic marketplace. That's a fancy way of saying that the company is outsourcing to India, the Philippines, and Greenfield adds they will start outsourcing to Jamaica in the next few months. That's one. Here's another one. 800 more Americans will shortly succumb to the Bush-induced job knife. Mark sends this message to us. The lot will expire from the Levi Strauss plant in San Antonio this week. This is according to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. This week, the last of the Levi Strauss & Company manufacturing plants in the United States will close, fading this American icon like a pair of its own 501s. The struggling denim company has announced that the last two of its U.S. factories near downtown San Antonio will shut their doors, leaving 800 employees out of work and ending an American tradition that began 150 years ago. Although the company's headquarters in San Francisco will remain open, the bulk of the $4.2 billion jeans company manufacturing will be suppliers in 50 other nations, including countries in Asia, the Caribbean, and, of course, China, where labor is cheaper. Yes, indeed, working on the chain gang. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now comes George Bush in the midst of this, saying, let's take these, you know, there's somewhere between 4 and 12 million. The more widely accepted numbers are between 6 and 8 million, but nobody's really sure. Illegal immigrants inside the United States. And there's been this big debate. What do we do with these folks? Do we track them down and deport them? Do we grant them amnesty and make them citizens? Well, back in 1942, we had a similar problem. It was the result, there was a very substantial history to this, actually, which I'll share with you right after the break. And we had a lot of Mexican immigrants, primarily from Mexico. There were also a large number of Chinese who had come over to work on the railroads in the late 19th century. And in 1942, Congress came up with a plan called the Bracero Program. Do you remember this? It ended in 1964, And it was a form of legalized slavery. This is essentially what Bush is suggesting we bring back. I'll tell you, I'll give you the details right after this break. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back. More Exposing the Con in Conservative.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection, The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Just put on my travel shoes if you want to win.
You just can't lose the time. Oh, stay behind.
And welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman. Our program brought to you today by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, M-A-C-S, 1-800-511-MACS, or smalldog.com on the Internet. The first migrant workers in the United States, we started out, you know, with this New Mexico, Texas, Arizona, and California were annexed, 1,528,000. 241 square kilometers, at that time inhabited by about 100,000 people, which was a lot of people back in 1846. This is the Treaty of Guadalupe, 1846-1847, in which we took 45% of Mexico's original territory. Then came the boom years. Gold was discovered in California. The American Civil War started. Enormous numbers of tax dollars were given to the railroads, and massive chunks of land were given to the railroads to build railroads, in part to supply the military and war material and move troops around and things. I mean, the railroad period of growth from the 1850s to the 1880s was a boom time similar to the computer explosion that we saw in the 80s and the 90s, or similar to the radio explosion in the 1920s that brought about the Roaring Twenties. I mean, each one of these has been fueled by an innovation, as it were. And this growth in the railroads and the industries associated with them and that were using them required more and more labor. And so the companies went off in search of what conservatives always search for: cheap labor. We need more cheap labor. And they started bringing in people from Mexico, and then they started bringing in people from. But then there was folks who were opposed to that, and so they started bringing in people from China. But then all this paranoia in Congress led to the Chinese Exclusion Act. It's a racist xenophobia. But that allowed Japanese to come in place of the Chinese. And then in 1903, we banned Japanese, and we started importing Filipino workers. And with the construction of the railroad between Mexico and the United States between 1880 and 1890, then once again these large quantities of Mexican workers were available. By that time, 60%, this is from farmworkers.org, by the way, these stats, 60% of the crews which worked the Western railroads were Mexicans. 60%, that's amazing, you know. And of the people who had come from Mexico to work in the United States between 1850 and 1880, 63% ended up in Texas, 13.7% in California, 7.6% in New Mexico, and 3.1% in the rest of the United States. We didn't establish a patrolled border with Mexico until 1924. People were just not that mobile, and populations were not that large. Keep in mind, in 1800, there was only 1 billion people on the entire planet. Now, that's the population of India is larger than that. There were only 1 billion people on the entire planet in 1800. Our second billion took 130 years. I mean, the first billion took millions of years. The second billion took 130 years, 1930. Our third billion took 30 years, 1960. Our fourth billion took 14 years, 1974. Our fifth billion took 13 years, 1987. And our sixth billion took 11 or 12 years, 1999. So there's been this population explosion, basically, since around 1900 that really distorts these numbers when you think about it. You know, that all of the Western territories had 100,000 people. And look at it now. I mean, millions and millions of people. But anyhow, during the Great Depression, we instituted this program where people had to have visas to come in. But then came the Bracero program, Bracero, B-R-A-C-E-R-O, which involved more than 4 million Mexican farm laborers. And it was started on August 4th, 1942. And it was very, very similar to this program that George Bush is saying. You can come in if you work cheap, but you have to leave. And I'll give you more details on this as we go on. And, of course, we've got Congressman Tom Tancredo, who's going to be calling in shortly. We'll put him on the air. This is Tom Hartman.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hibernation might be the key to healthier organ transplants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Hibernating ground squirrels can give us insight into more successful liver transplants. University of Wisconsin-Madison veterinary researcher Hannah Carey says hibernating animals keep their internal organs healthy for long periods, even while their body temperatures drop close to freezing. Carey says it's similar to the cold storage human organs are put into while awaiting transplant, but human tissue is often damaged during this refrigeration.
The temperature that people store organs, like livers, in the cold happens to be the same body temperature that animals often hibernate. The species we study can go for up to at least 3 weeks straight in a cold stored condition. So we said, can these animals tell us how to maintain the viability of an organ with long-term cold storage?
Carrie and her research team transplanted the livers of rats, which don't hibernate, and ground squirrels, which do. The transplanted rat livers were in far worse shape than those of the hibernators. For comparison, Carrie transplanted the livers of ground squirrels during non-hibernation season. They fared somewhere in between the hibernators and the rats.
And that tells us that being a species that hibernate probably just confers protection because there's already that ability built into their genes to be able to protect themselves that allow their organs to resist these extreme states.
Carrie wants to identify the molecules that protect the ground squirrel's livers in the cold. She says that could help doctors precondition human organs awaiting transplant, increasing their storage time and improving the likelihood of successful operations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. I was telling you about the Bracero program, started in 1942 in the United States and abandoned in 1964. I wanted to get a conservative take on this. We have Congressman Tom Tancredo on the line. Congressman, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Thanks for having me on.
I'm pleased to have you here. I'm curious. The New York Times today had a news analysis in which they pointed out that the states that are heavy in Hispanic populations, Florida, Texas, and so on, could swing the election in 2004 if it's as close as it was last time, and basically suggesting that this immigration move of George Bush's is just a political ploy. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's pretty accurate. But I think that there's another aspect of it, and that is that it is also a way to address the demands that are being made out of the administration anyway, from the business community. And these demands are they have an insatiable desire for cheap labor.
For cheap labor.
And so,
are you sure you're a conservative?
I'm absolutely positive. That's one thing about which I am sure. Yes, okay. It is a cheap labor policy that we are operating. It has been operating for a long time, and that's what motivates most of our immigration policy, or lack thereof.
Right.
And then along with it, of course, is the desire to get a foothold in the Hispanic community, which they think they do not now have. And I separate myself because I'm saying they, and, you know, I am Republican. I was a Republican in high school, like in North Denver, when my Italian parents thought I was crazy. You know, my roots go very deep into the Republican Party, but I guarantee you, on this issue, the line in the sand is drawn. Go ahead.
Well, you finish your sentence.
I was going to say that I believe that we can make a very compelling case to Hispanic Americans that they should vote for Republicans for the principles that I believe the party stands for. We do not have to pander to them. We do not have to pander to the business community. We do not have to change who we are in order to get people to vote for us, or else, of course, you become somebody else, right? And
well,
what good
that's
is that?
Interesting. I mean, just as a very brief digression, can you name one major policy initiative that the Bush administration has put forward in 2.5 years that hasn't been at its core a giveaway to one big industry or another?
Well, I think that one of the things they did to try and address a big push, from my point of view anyway, and an important conservative movement, was the willingness to sign and also even encourage the partial birth abortion ban, for instance. I mean, on the social schemes, if you will, or on the social agenda, he's been pretty consistent.
Yeah, but the partial birth abortion is going to influence maybe 5 or 10 human beings a year.
Well,
that's not a major policy
but
initiative.
You're just talking
that's
about just, a major push,
you know,
by the
I'm talking about something that affects thousands or millions of Americans.
Well,
can you name
I
one?
Guess I'm trying to figure out how, although I didn't support it, I don't know exactly how the No Child Left Behind agenda that the president first pushed.
Oh, I can tell you that.
Jim
Jeffers. Jim Jeffords, when he was switching parties, he's my congressman or my senator, shared with me a congressional, the Congressional Research Service?
Yeah,
study that they did, and they found that No Child Left Behind's primary impact would be that it would increase from $400 million a year to $800 million a year. In the first year, the revenue of one corporation that sold tests to schools, they manufacture these tests at a manufactured cost of about 8 to 15 cents, and they retail them to schools at $25 a whack, and now schools are mandated to buy these, and this corporation is very active in supporting Republican candidates.
Well, no school is mandated to buy tests from that corporation. I guarantee
there's
you
actually
that.
Three corporations that are participating. They're
that
all
could be, but
active.
Do you really truly believe now, honest to God? I mean, you're almost out in the sand like Dean to me. But do you really believe that that was the purpose of the No Child Left Behind Act? Was to satisfy
I really believe that was a big
interest?
Piece of it. Yeah, I think that Ted Kennedy started out saying, "Hey, let's fix our schools," and George Bush came in and said, "And hey, let's fix one of my big campaign donors."
Well, it could be, I guess, but.
But anyhow, let's get back
I
to the.
I don't think that that's what motivated
Let's get back to what we agree on here. You know, I was telling folks about the Bracero program in 1942 to 64. And in my mind, this is just a reinstitution of the Bracero program, which is you bring in cheap labor, you don't give them any rights. These Braceros who came in from Mexico, they had permits, they had cards, it was stamped, they were measured on the way in and measured on the way out, and they were tracked. In many cases, they literally were working on chain gangs if they misbehaved. They were paid virtually nothing, and some would say they built the agricultural industry of California and the states around it, mm-hmm. and certainly Texas, you know, way back when in the 40s, 50s, and 60s. Do you see parallels?
To a certain extent, except that there was something about the Bracero program that I liked, although I wasn't around to, you know, at its inception certainly, but that was that you could not bring family with you. In the president's proposal, you can. You also, in the president's proposal, are going to be protected under the labor laws of the United States, and even and that, that includes wage laws in the United States. So there are protections in today that would not have been there in the late 50s and 60s, or early 60s. So there are some differences, but it is certainly in many respects, I think, modeled, well, I don't know if it's modeled after that, but any guest worker program, it, right now we have several.
Mm-hmm.
Something's called H-2A.
Right, your visa programs.
Sure. These are all these are all guest worker programs. H-1B visa for high-tech workers, L-1
visa. Yeah, but those are, I mean, occasionally, for example, I used to run an advertising agency down in Atlanta, and we had a client who wanted a newsletter produced in Japanese, English, Spanish, and French. And we had to find a guy who could speak all four of these languages to produce this thing.
Yeah.
And we actually found a guy who was Japanese parents. He grew up, he was born in Peru and grew up in the United States and took French in high school. And but, you know, he had to have a visa. And I filled out all the paperwork because I, honest to God, couldn't find an American who could do what this guy could do. His name was Shinji.
Yeah.
And so, you know, occasionally there's a need for those kinds of things.
Well, that's right. But, of course, they've been abused. It's been abused dramatically. Not now is it not just that, especially H-1B, but even the L-1 category visa, are now used simply to import cheap labor.
Right.
And they, that's what also, it's an interesting thing that I think would happen if this bill that the president, or this concept that the president has proposed, actually finds its way into bill form and is passed. Let's play that out a little bit. You're where are you physically located right now, by the way?
I'm physically located in Montpelier, Vermont. The show is being
in
mixed
Vermont,
in a studio in Detroit.
All right. But let's say that an employer in Vermont who presently employs 100 people and is paying them $10 an hour, and this bill passes, and this employer says, you know, I see the way this is supposed to work. If I post a job, and if I don't get any response from an American citizen or a legal alien here in the country, I can then go into this pool that's available to me from the third world and bring workers in. So
with a computerized database, no less.
Yes. So what I will do is I will post the job at $6 an hour and thereby reduce my labor costs dramatically and just see what happens. I post the job at $6. I get no takers because, of course, it's a $10 an hour job, right?
Yeah.
When you get no takers for 2 weeks, you go into the labor pool available to you, and all of a sudden you bring in 100 workers for $6 an hour. Now, you've reduced your costs considerably, and you've just thrown 100 American workers out of work.
There you go. Yeah, it's so clear that the twin agendas of these are pandering to Hispanics in particular in the United States. Although it appears that there's some backlash because there's no amnesty provisions in this thing, and that's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. And this whole cheap labor thing. By the way, if any of our listeners would like to call and offer their thoughts or have a question for Congressman Tancredo, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. What you have proposed legislation, and I have a summary of it here, a four-point plan for immigration control. Is this House Resolution 3534? Is your four-point plan appears to span more than just one bill?
The bill 3534, which is almost 70 pages long, does include almost everything that we've got in there, probably except with the exception of the fourth part. But it certainly deals with number one, securing the border. I mean, if you truly want to, I mean, you have to make a decision, first of all. America has to make a decision here. And in one way, I'm glad the president did this yesterday because, frankly, I relish the ability to have a debate on this issue at the national level to get national attention.
I think it's vital. Yeah, it's vital.
And I want America to really think about this. What is it we want in terms of our borders? Do you actually want borders? Are borders important? I mean, I know that sounds like a little more of an esoteric approach here, but I really do want people to think about it. Are borders important? Do they matter? What function do they play?
And you can take it to the next step in looking at the NAFTA and WTO. GATT basically said borders continue to exist if you're a human being, but they don't exist if you're a corporation.
Yeah, and you're right. NAFTA and GATT are based upon a the concept, a very libertarian-esque concept that says, you know, borders really are obstacles to the free flow of goods, services, and people. And but we, you know, if we're going to maintain the one, the borders as an obstacle to people, we can certainly eliminate the, you know, them being an obstacle to the other two.
Right.
But I'm telling you that that you really have to be able to determine: do you want borders? And if so, what role do they play in your society? If you say yes to that, then you have to make another set of decisions, like: do you in fact intend to secure them?
Right.
If you're just going
to
have them, they're simply lines on a paper. That's not really having borders. And so I want America to make a decision. If it wants borders, that's fine. I mean, I do, by the way.
Yeah.
But if you
I suspect there's a consensus. Yeah. Congressman King, Tancredo, right?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry, you're not my congressman, so
No, that's okay, believe me.
Yeah.
There are plenty of people in my own district that I'm sure can't pronounce it.
Yeah, although we do have listeners in Colorado. Tony in Washington, D.C. is on the line, and Jim in Florence, South Carolina is on the line, both with questions for you. Let's go to Tony first. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Tony, thanks for calling.
Thank you, and I hope you all have a blessed New Year for you and your families.
Well, thank you.
Sir, just want to come out and say I appreciate you coming on this line. We'd like to hear both sides of the viewpoint. What do you think about if this ideology, and I'll take my answer off the air, if you say that all of a sudden for people who broke the law, and that's what they're doing, even though they are contributing to the tax base of the economy, but you still broke the law. That's just straight up, you know, you can't be no plainer than that. What if somebody come out with the three strikes and you're out? People who committed a felony, why can't they come back and get their rights restored? If you're saying no matter what the severity of the law that was broken, you still open a Pandora's box.
In other words, you're saying, Tony, that we're tough on people who commit on American citizens who commit crimes. Three strike, you know, you steal three candy bars and get caught three times in the supermarket, and you end up in prison for the rest of your life.
Right.
Why aren't we tough with illegal immigrants? Is that your question in a nutshell?
Yeah, basically. And I appreciate
okay.
the program. Thank you.
Great. Thanks,
well,
Tony. Congressman Tancredo.
I believe that the caller is you know, poses a very good question. Let's not even say that it's a severe infraction. Let's just say that muggings, you know, we have millions in this country every year, right? And most of them go unsolved. So that means that we've got millions of muggers out there who are not presently being penalized for it. So what would happen, I guess, if I said, you know what, there are so many muggers out there that in order to really get this thing under control, we will just say, listen, come by the government office, pay $100, and we'll say all is forgiven. Well, you know, what are we supposed to be a nation of law or not? I mean, does the rule of law mean anything?
You know, the one precedent for that is the amnesty program that South Africa had, but the circumstances are so completely different.
We had one. Reagan did it. Reagan did.
Oh, that's right. You're right.
Sure, 86.
Yeah, he had a blanket amnesty for illegal aliens.
That's right. And what did it do? Did it stop our illegal immigration problem?
No, it encouraged it.
Guess what? Hello? if you reward certain behavior, you're going to get a lot more of it.
There you go. Jim in Florence, South Carolina is on the line. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. I've got two short questions. Number one, even though you're very adamant about what you're saying, are you still going to vote for George Bush in the election? And number two, I'm going to take it out on George Bush. I've had enough of this character. But I don't think my vote's going to be counted if you in the Republican Party don't see to it that these black box voting issues are taken care of. And I don't want you to skirt these questions. Please answer. Thank you.
Okay, Congressman Tancredo, I'm assuming you know about Rush Holt, Congressman Rush Holt's bill to restore some integrity to the voting machines.
Well, I'm not positive that I do. I know
you should talk to him. He has bipartisan support.
Okay,
for it,
I'm not skirting it. I really don't know about this particular piece of legislation you're talking about. Believe me, I want voter fraud eliminated. Believe me, I want there to be no duplicate votes cast by people who are voting for George Bush or whoever the Democratic candidate is, and I don't want people who are here illegally being able to vote either. But you know what? It has happened, and it's going to continue to happen until we really and truly get serious about it. And I guarantee you, every vote I cast in the Congress is along those lines. I mean, it would be in pursuit of those goals.
Okay. Congressman Kent Tancredo, we're out of time here for this segment. I appreciate your coming on the program. I want to thank you very much for showing up today.
Believe it or not.
And, yeah, thank you. And wish you the very best of the new year.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye now. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
We have Bob in Texas. It's called Bob. Welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
You know, it's just wonderful to hear your show. I got the Sirius Satellite Radio because of this channel, and your show is worth every cent of it.
Well, thank you.
It's really nice to hear a radio show that, for one thing, you don't have to throw things at, you know, after a little while. You're talking about ideas and about historical context of what's going on, and that's so important. You don't hear this kind of intellectual, this level of thought anywhere else on the radio, and I sure appreciate it. But the big thing I keep worrying about is we have to, I mean, I think Al Franken's right in that we have to, we've been taking it and we've been taking it, and they've slimed us for so many years, and we can't take it anymore.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman, where our talking points come from Madison and Jefferson, not from right-wing think tanks in the RNC. Although it was interesting to actually have a Republican on who is willing to come out and say this is a cynical political move on the part of George Bush. What's particularly galling and cynical about it, here in the New York Times today, he's trying to reestablish his credentials as a compassionate conservative. Right, and also to reach out to suburban swing voters who see the evidence as plan as evidence of a gentler Republican Party. Bill McIntyre, leading Republican pollster, said, "For a party that's trying to look more inclusive and welcoming, the proposal has broad thematics that show an openness to America's new immigrants. But it's not. It's like, yes, you can come in and be slave laborers, subject to certain conditions, and then you have to leave. This is not compassionate. This is not conservative. It's not liberal. It's just politics. It's the reinvention of the Bracero program. It's wrong. It's trafficking in human beings to satisfy America's largest corporations, particularly our agricultural corporations. And it's a disaster, in my opinion." Jim in Portland, Oregon's on the line. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom. Love the show, and really appreciate everything you're doing.
Thank you.
Just a quick comment on what you were just talking about. If you go to, I don't know if you've been to George W. Bush's official site, and you go to his compassion photo gallery, there's like 18 photos
kidding.
There that will kind of give you some insight as to what he feels compassion is. It's all, it's kind of blatant how he just has him interacting with people of other cultures in every photo, and it's not, it's just so obvious what he's trying to portray himself as this compassion.
You know what's amazing to me, Jim, is how convinced the cons are that the average American is an idiot.
Amen.
And we have a fair share of idiots out there.
Yeah.
But I am not one. And you know, the old, I think it was P.T. Barnum who said nobody ever failed to get rich underestimating the intelligence of the American people. But I still think that there is a vast reservoir of common sense and human decency among the American people. And you know, this guy, I don't think he can pull this con job off much longer. You know, it seems to me like folks are waking up. Jim, thanks for your call. I appreciate it very much. 36 House Republicans have already sent a letter to Tom Ridge saying that they oppose any kind of mass amnesty. The rebellion is starting among the Republicans. Let's see what the Democrats have to say. This is going to be an interesting debate here. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, exposing the con and conservative.
It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the...
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Talk, not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational, and you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal?
Goof?
Yeah. I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. Insurgents lobbed mortars at a U.S. military base west of Baghdad, killing one soldier and wounding 34. Six mortars struck logistical base jets north of Baghdad Wednesday, hitting soldiers' barracks, U.S. officials said. The toll had earlier been put at 35 wounded, but some of the soldiers listed as seriously injured. The seriously injured soldiers were evacuated for treatment. The latest death toll raised to 216, the number of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq since George Bush declared hostilities over on May 1st. Over the course of the guerrillas' nine-month war of attrition, the rebels have taken to firing mortars off by remote control. Word of a new U.S. Army plan to pay soldiers up to $10,000 to reenlist evoked laughter from troops in Iraq. "Man, they can't pay me enough to stay here," said a 23-year-old specialist from the Army's 4th Infantry Division as he manned the checkpoint with Iraqi police outside the city of Baghdad. His comments reflect a sentiment not uncommon among soldiers in Iraq since the Army announced the increased reenlistment bonuses for soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait on Monday. The Bush administration on Wednesday reasserted its broad authority to declare American citizens to be enemy combatants, and it suggested the Supreme Court consider two prominent cases at the same time. The Justice Department, in a file briefed in the court, said it would seek an expedited appeal of a federal appeals court decision last month in the case of Joe Padilla, jailed as an enemy combatant in 2002. The divided Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in New York ruled on December 18th that President Bush lacked the authority to indefinitely detain an American citizen like Mr. Padilla, who was arrested on American soil simply by declaring him an enemy combatant. George Bush's twin daughters have shown little interest in their family's tradition of public service and are unhappy about the limelight they find themselves in, a new book says. Jenna and Barbara Bush have not campaigned or reined in their adolescent rebellions, Washington Post reporter Ann Gerhardt says in the book published this week, The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. They have not appeared engaged in any of the pressing issues their generation will inherit, nor shown empathy for the struggles facing their mother and their father, Gerhardt says. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. senators and representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
A rare feathered visitor to Britain survived a grueling 15-hour journey from Norway, only to be eaten by a birdwatcher's cat on arrival. The cat's owner wrote to a bird charity to report the unusual sight of a Norwegian robin in her garden in the north of England, but she had to confess it was dead in her cat's mouth at the time. The unlucky bird was one of only 30 Scandinavian robins known to have made the 400-mile flight to Britain since 1919. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you, but as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica.
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have exciting news for those of you who worry that American industry is losing its creative edge. America West Airlines has just implemented a stunning innovation that is certain to revive this sagging industry and assure profits, new jobs, and happy skies as far as the horizon extends. The innovation? Ads on tray tables. Yes, just when you thought that surely there was not another space left anywhere in our country for corporations to put more ads, along comes America West to slap you right in the face with an ad every time you flip down your tray table on one of its flights. The airline is selling ads to cover every tray top on each of its planes, and it already has Visa, Mercedes-Benz, and Bank of America on board for this flighty idea. Advertisers pay $3,300 per plane to hawk their stuff via tray tables to what they call a captive audience. Indeed, an audience literally strapped to its seats. Tray tables are said to be the brainstorm of marketeer Nick Pagic. Seems more like a slight breeze than a brainstorm to me, but this is what passes for innovation in corporate America today. Pagic gushes that ads on tray tops will, quote, be one of the most powerful and influential media. Oh, sure, I'm going to rush off the plane and buy a Mercedes because of an ad on my tray table. No wonder our economy is in trouble. If you think you can escape by flying on some other carrier, America West marketing honcho warns that it seems to be a no-brainer for other airlines to follow suit once we've blazed the trail. It's enough to make you reach for the barf bag. They admit that tray table ads are just a start as airlines seek other ways to jack up their revenues. Yeah, why not run a constant stream of ads over the PA system, or start charging for pillows, or assessing a fee for those who want to have an oxygen mask available to them? This is Jim Hightower saying, or here's a loopy idea. Why not improve service so flying becomes a pleasant experience rather than an ordeal?
If you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued
by them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, friends. Tom Hartman here on the IE America Radio Network. Jerry Smith is the author of a book called HAARP, and that's with two A's, H-A-A-R-P, The Ultimate Weapon of Conspiracy. This is Thursday afternoon. It's our second hour of the program. And every Thursday afternoon, our second hour, we try to get into something that goes beyond just the news, that goes beyond just politics, and gets into things that you didn't, not only what you didn't know, but you didn't know that you needed to know, you didn't know that you didn't know, and now you're going to know it, the stuff that maybe everything you know is wrong.
You know that you're wrong, but you fear you're right. You suspect you're out of sync, and think that you're out of your mind.
Everything you know is wrong.
Maybe. Wait until you hear what Jerry has to say here. HAARP is the subtitle is The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. Jerry Smith, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Well, hi, Tom. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about HAARP. What is this thing?
Well, HAARP is a field of antennas on the ground in southeastern Alaska that is so put together so as to make it into one giant antenna. It broadcasts in the high-frequency band, which is at the bottom of the transmissions that we use for radio and TV is above that. What this thing is designed to do is that it's designed to inject energy into the top of the atmosphere, and it is supposedly a civilian science project, but it is was created by and funded by the military as an obvious end run around objections to Star Wars. It appears to have come out of the Star Wars Strategic Defense Initiative, and is if it were a military project, it would violate a couple of treaties. So they just conveniently made it a civilian project.
Interesting. Now, let me just quickly read to you two views of HAARP. The first is from the official HAARP fact sheet, which is haarp.alaska.edu, and et cetera. And it says HAARP, which stands for High Frequency Active Oral, A-U-R-O-R-A-O-R-A-L, I'm sorry.
Auroral.
Thank you. Auroral Research Program, is to be a major Arctic facility for upper atmosphere and solar terrestrial research. HAARP is being built on a DOD, Department of Defense-owned site near Gakona, Alaska. And they talk about their instruments and its phased radio, blah de blah de blah. And then it gets very techie, and it's kind of, you know, I think designed to cause anybody who reads its eyes to cross. Mm-hmm. Now here on conspire.com /HAARP.html, H-A-A-R-P, Project HAARP, the Pentagon's provocative plan to superheat the Earth's ionosphere. In an Arctic compound 200 miles east of Anchorage, Alaska, the Pentagon has erected a powerful transmitter designed to beam more than a gigawatt of energy. That's a billion watts, as I recall. Or is it a trillion? Gigawatt's a billion, isn't it?
A billion.
Yeah. Of energy into the upper reaches of the atmosphere, known as Project HAARP. The $30 million experiment involves the world's largest ionospheric heater, a prototype device designed to zap the skies hundreds of miles above the Earth with high-frequency radio waves. Now, interestingly, Jerry, in today's newspaper, there's an Associated Press story. The headline is Radiation Suspected in Mass Extinctions. And
right.
It says the second largest extinction in the Earth's history. This was the one that happened around 440 million years ago, and a third of all species vanished from the Earth. They've wondered for a long time what caused this. It looks now like it was caused by the ozone layer crashing and gamma rays from the sun hitting the unprotected life forms on the planet and killing them off. The second largest extinction in the Earth's history, the killing of two-thirds of all species, might have been caused by ultraviolet radiation from the sun after gamma rays destroyed the Earth's ozone layer, says the Associated Press. Astronomers are proposing that a supernova exploded, that is a star, you know, blew up within 10,000 light years of Earth, destroying the chemistry of the atmosphere and allowing the sun's ultraviolet rays to cook fragile, unprotected life forms. I mean, the ionosphere and the ozone layer above it are not just, interesting things up there that produce the northern lights. This is something that allows life on Earth. It wasn't until plant matter in the oceans had produced enough oxygen, which was a waste byproduct of photosynthesis back then, to shift the chemistry of the atmosphere to produce an ozone layer some 600 million years or a billion years. No, it was a billion to 2 billion years ago. No, it was six. I'm getting my ages mixed up. But anyhow, long time ago, mm-hmm. before life could emerge on the surface, on the landmass, because we had to have the ozone layer before life on land could exist, because
exactly.
only life under the water could exist before, because the water screened out the ultraviolet radiation that cooks everything. So why are these guys messing with this?
Well, there's several possible reasons. The amount of output in terms of energy, your listeners are most of your listeners are probably listening on AM radio stations whose in the United States maximum effective radiated power is 50,000 watts.
And most stations are 1,000 to 5,000.
Produce 72,000 times that at 3.6 billion watts, and not just irradiate that out into the atmosphere the way radio stations do, but it uses a unique patented ability to focus the broadcast from the field so that it actually puts that energy into a spot. And this is the term they use, very technical, spot. It's actually between 1 and 3 miles deep by between 12 and 15 miles across, between 50 and 90 miles up. This will heat the ionosphere at least 1,000 degrees, and some of the numbers I've seen, 1,500, 2,000 degrees.
So anything that flies through it gets destroyed.
Well, that's one of the
this
things.
This is a Star Wars weapon.
Is where they're putting this is right at the very top of the atmosphere, The ozone layer actually is about halfway between the ground and where they're irradiating. What the where they're putting it is right where spy satellites fly, oddly enough. And one of the things potentially that could be done with the HARP array is fry out spy satellites.
Uh-huh. Now, why is that a bad thing? I mean, you know, there are those who say, well, the United States has to defend itself. There are spy satellites. Who knows? There may even be weapons in space at some point. We're certainly trying to develop them.
There's two answers to that. One is unintended consequences. As you just expressed, if you mess with the upper atmosphere, you are playing with that which makes life possible on the surface. If there's a downside to this, it would be not a good thing to find out. And the other is that if you have the ability to fry spy satellites or fry incoming ICBMs, you have a first launch capability. If you have a
so
first launch capability, you destabilize the world balance of power under MAD, mutually assured destruction.
Right.
One of the hotly debated things throughout the Cold War was who had first launch capability and was that a bad thing? And the general agreement was first launch capability was a very bad thing. And so the whole balance of power throughout the Cold War was making it so neither side had a clear advantage in first launch.
So you're saying that this may be part of this we've seen it most recently writ large with this new book by Richard Perle and David Frum, An End to Evil, I think it's titled. I just read it a couple days ago and wrote a piece about it for Common Dreams day before yesterday. This whole notion that America must be the police officer of the world, we must clamp down on everybody, we must put an iron fist around the throat of the planet, otherwise they may get uppity and represent some sort of threat to our, particularly to our corporate, our largest corporate interests.
Yeah, the image of finger touching end of nose. You've pretty much nailed it there. I don't believe in the United States as the world's policeman. I believe in the United States as the shining beacon of sanity and freedom. And an iron fist in a velvet glove is not my idea of America.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I'll just do a quick story here. I was in Africa in 1980, 1981 in Uganda during the war with Idi Amin. And we set up a hospital there. We took over the Namalo prison farm and turned it into a refugee center and then later into a hospital, which is still operating. And Dick Gregory went back with me in 1981 to help raise, you know, do some publicity and whatnot. And we were on the airplane flying over the Atlantic at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, all jazzed up. And into, I think, our third glass of wine. And we were talking about American foreign policy and reminiscing about Vietnam. And at one point, he said to me, you know what I don't understand? I'm not going to try and imitate his voice, but he said, what I don't understand is why America thinks it has to run around the world shoving its way of life down the throats of people with the barrel of a gun. And he got real thoughtful looking for a second. He says, you know, when you've got something good, you don't have to force it on people. They will steal it.
Exactly.
And that's what we've seen. I mean, in Tiananmen Square, people marching carrying a 36-foot papier-mâché replica of the Statue of Liberty and reciting Thomas Jefferson. All across the world now, more than two-thirds of the countries on Earth are either democracies or have active and strong democratic movements, whereas in 1800 there were only three democracies on the planet. And,
right.
And you know, in 1775, there were none.
Right.
So I agree. This is something very powerful, democracy. And I think, frankly, the extent to which we go around trying to force democracy on people is the extent to which it's going to backfire and not work, which is
Absolutely. Oddly
what George Bush said during the campaign in 2000. But that's a digression. So the subtitle of your book is The Ultimate Weapon of the Conspiracy. What's the conspiracy?
Well, there's a couple of answers to this. First of all, let me say that when I wrote this,
we got about a minute and a half. By the way,
conspiracy theory was the flavor of the day, and the publisher wanted a conspiracy book, so I wrote a conspiracy book. Partly what it is my book is not technical. I do not examine the technology of how HARP works. My book is about social impact. My book is about agendas. I'm looking at what this technology possibly could do, and then asking the question, who would want to do that? What globalist agendas does this further? And so I don't show a single conspiracy. I show that there are several possible conspiracies that would enjoy having this technology.
Yeah, and it's fascinating. I suspect that the neocon or the conservative agenda, whatever they're saying, don't call it neocon now. The right wing hawk wacko take over the world, and I promise Louise I wouldn't say wacko anymore. But I tend to agree with you. Jerry, I want to thank you for being on the program today. The book, again, Jerry Smith, H-A-A-R-P is the title, HARP. Jerry, is there a website real quickly? Got about 5 seconds?
JerryESmith.com, JerryESmith.com.
Great. Okay. For our listeners who want more information, they can find it on your website. I'm sure they can find a link to where they can buy your book. Go to your local bookstore and order it, for that matter. Thank you, Jerry, for being on the program. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more talk radio for the rest of us.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will. Thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
That's great. It starts with an earthquake. Birds and snakes and aeroplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane. Listen to yourself. Turn world. Set its own needs. Dummy, serve your own needs. Beat it up a notch. Speak front. No stream. The ladder starts to clatter with fear. Fight down. High wire and a fire. Representatives have engaged in the government for hire.
And welcome back. Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman. Armin in Florida is on the line. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number if you'd like to call. 1-800-825-5937. Hey, Armin, what's up?
You know what we ought to call this immigration bill proposal?
You know, by the way, Armin, let me just interrupt you. When I had the congressman on, I saw that you had called, and I didn't figure that there would be time in that last break because
okay.
It's only 2.5 minutes for both him and you, and so I dumped him so that I could take your call, and then you dropped off the line. Anyhow, welcome back. So what's
it's
up?
It's okay. Not a problem. Thank you. What they ought to call this bill, I think, this proposal, for a better word, is what it really truly is, and called it the camel underneath the tent of the what's left of the middle class.
Well, I think it goes way beyond that because
I think that
George Bush is doing a huge disservice, number one, to the illegal aliens in the United States, number two, to the legal aliens in the United States and people who are working on citizenship, number three, to all the people south of the border who have aspirations to come to the United States. This addresses none of these problems. The only problem that this bill that George Bush is proposing addresses is the fact that there are people who want cheap laborers and they don't want to have to face the prospect of those cheap laborers being illegal.
Well, it's not just that. That's a big part of it, and that is a lot of it. But, you know, how much of this is state-sponsored? Because 72% of the farm subsidies go to less than 10% of the farmers that the majority are. And he calls himself a free market Republican. He's a filthy liar, and he's a bottom feeder. And the guy, in my opinion, he's never done anything in a free market of any monument at all. He's an insider all his life. His dad's bailed him out all his life. He's never invented anything. He's never worked with his hands and produced anything. This guy is the most polished loser we've ever had in that office in the history of this republic. And what can I say?
I think you just said it, Armin, and I tend to agree with you, and I thank you for the call and for your comment on that. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. Mark in Eureka, California is on the line. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking a second out. I have a question, and I also have a statement. I just heard about HARP for the first time last week when I listened to a radio program, and it actually goes further than what your guest was just stating. Their whole reason for having it, supposedly, is that it has the ability to also be used as a device that can see underground, see tunnels and underground military positions, etc. Supposedly, it can do that. But one of the side effects that it supposedly has is that it can, if someone, a person is in the ray, in the beam, it actually just drives them crazy and makes them go psychotic, gonzo, potentially, you know, suicidal, psychotic, dangerous.
A thought control device.
Right. Yeah, and so it's just a side effect of it. So they're really trying to say that they're going to use it to be able to see the underground missile, you know, silos, etc., of our supposed enemies, but actually it can be used also as a device that can, you know, first strike, stun the enemy, and then we can nuke them. I was just on the internet looking for Terry Smith's site and didn't come up, and I also...
Jerry E. Smith, he said.
Oh, okay, that's what it was.
J-E-R-R-Y-E, letter E, like Elmer.
Great, thanks. I also looked up the HARP on the internet, and nothing comes up on it.
HARP
search, you know, nothing comes up on the keyword search, even just a bunch of other stuff about HARP playing on a cruise, etc. So it's hard.
No, there's two A's in it.
Oh, okay, great.
It's two A's. You have to misspell it. Two H A A R P. Sort of like the American Association for Retired Persons with an H in front of it. They're both Republican conspiracies.
Okay, great. Thank you very
Mark,
much.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. Forever Autumn, hang on. We'll get to you right after this break. This is Tom Hartman, the place where smart people get their news. We'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, and just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hibernation might be the key to healthier organ transplants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Hibernating ground squirrels can give us insight into more successful liver transplants. University of Wisconsin-Madison veterinary researcher Hannah Carey says hibernating animals keep their internal organs healthy for long periods, even while their body temperatures drop close to freezing. Carey says it's similar to the cold storage human organs are put into while awaiting transplant, but human tissue is often damaged during this refrigeration.
The temperature that people store organs, like livers, in the cold happens to be the same body temperature that animals often hibernate. The species we study can go for up to at least 3 weeks straight in a cold stored condition. So we said, can these animals tell us how to maintain the viability of an organ with long-term cold storage?
Carrie and her research team transplanted the livers of rats, which don't hibernate, and ground squirrels, which do. The transplanted rat livers were in far worse shape than those of the hibernators. For comparison, Carrie transplanted the livers of ground squirrels during non-hibernation season. They fared somewhere in between the hibernators and the rats.
And that tells us that being a species that hibernate probably just confers protection because there's already that ability built into their genes to be able to protect themselves that allow their organs to resist these extreme states.
Carrie wants to identify the molecules that protect the ground squirrels' livers in the cold. She says that could help doctors precondition human organs awaiting transplant, increasing their storage time and improving the likelihood of successful operations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Slice like this.
it's all been done before. And if you could only let it be, you would see I like you the way you are when we're driving in your car. And you're
moving toward a bright and sparkling future by returning democracy to the United States of America. This is Tom Hartman. George Bush, we've got a couple of callers on the line. I'm going to get your calls in just a minute. I just want to do this one thing here. This Bush Greenwatch is just extraordinary. And, in fact, we've got theme music for it. Yeah, it's a beautiful world. It's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful, whatever it is. It's Louis Armstrong.
Red roses, too. I see them blue.
Yeah, well, they're blooming, but they're threatened by the Superfund sites. It turns out, back in 1980, the Superfund was first created. What a wonderful world, yes. Back in 1980, the Superfund was first created for the most heavily polluted sites in the United States. And as Ronald Reagan, I guess today's our day to quote conservatives, as Ronald Reagan said, quote, I strongly believe that the funds used to pay for the program should be generated entirely through taxes on industry, that is, the ones who created the pollution, not the general treasury. He said that in 1985. He also said, we as a society must address these serious health threats. One in four Americans lives within 4 miles of a Superfund site. Now, this is no small thing. George Bush is the first president in history not to request that the funding for these Superfund sites be renewed, this tax on industry. And if the tax on industry is not renewed, then industry gets a pass, and you and I have to pay for it. The Superfund sites will still be cleaned up, but they will be paid for by you and me rather than by the industries that created them. And this is the idea now of the Bush administration. Clinton asked for reauthorization, and the Republicans turned him down in 1995. And now, not only are the Republicans turning down funding of this thing from industry, but George Bush is going to, the funding actually expires this year. And Bush is going to say, no, sorry, you guys, you get to pay for it. What a wonderful world, eh?
What a wonderful world.
Yeah. And it really is a wonderful world, I have to say, you know, at the risk of sounding like you know, somebody who just rants all the time. I am so appreciative of this planet and of this life that I have and the beauty of the world around me, and I think it's so important that we care for it. That said, Mark in Eureka, California is on the line we already took Mark, didn't we? So it's Forever Autumn from Arkansas with a comment about HARP. Hey, Forever Autumn, how are you? Still there? Am I still there? Should be. Well, apparently Forever Adam is listening to his or her radio, which is probably delayed a little bit. So we'll go to Patricia from Detroit, Michigan. Thanks for calling 1-800-TALK. Yes, Patricia, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to interject another motivation for Bush's immigration process. I believe that the banking lobbyists will benefit from the tax-free savings account. You know, they'll be able to transfer their funds back to Mexico without paying taxes. And as an African-American, I can't think of anything that we receive free. And I find that disheartening. I also would like to repeat something that I heard, that Americans will be working at McDonald's in order to buy things from overseas. And I think that's terrible.
Yeah, well, that's what's happening right now. I mean, this is the result not just of conservative Republican policies that date back to Ronald Reagan and that they've been trying to do ever since they started fighting aggressively against Franklin Roosevelt, but laws that Bill Clinton signed into place. I mean, this is the battle that's tearing apart the Democratic Party right now that nobody talks about or that very rarely gets talked about is the conservatives in the Democratic Party, like Joe Lieberman, who are in favor of cheap labor and
and in favor of basically what's good for the corporations is good for America. And the true Democrats like Howard Dean and Dennis Kucinich and Carol Moseley Braun, who are saying, hey, no, wait a minute, sorry, our party was created by Thomas Jefferson in reaction to the big corporations, which were back then banks. And he said, I hope to see the moneyed corporations that already bid defiance to our democracy to be crushed in their birth, was his quote. And this is what's going on, Patricia. You've got it nailed.
No, I thought when Clinton proposed NAFTA, I was all for it because I believed that it was an opportunity to support the workers there, you know, to assist them, those there that are being stomped on by American corporations. You know, at that time, babies were being born with their brains outside of their heads because of Clorox and big companies like that. I was all for it then, but then the Republicans had a mechanism they really had, couldn't over a barrel. That's what I think, and that's why I just wound up like it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. Pardon me?
Bye.
Okay, great. Thank you, Patricia, for the call. I appreciate it. I thought you were going to make one more comment there. Well said. 1-800-TALK, yes, is our number. 1-800-825-5937. I'm going to tell you in a minute about what the International Monetary Fund just had to say about George Bush. But first, we'll go to Tim in San Antonio, Texas. Hey, Tim, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Yes, sir. Just out of number one on the immigration deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it came to the immigration for computer workers, the same thing will happen here that they wrote into law with that law. Unfortunately for the people in Hartford, Connecticut, they woke up one day and there were people at their workstations, and they were told, you have 2 months to train these people to do your job, and then you're fired and you get a letter of recommendation.
Well, and now what's happened is the workstations have moved to India.
That's right. But this was earlier.
Yeah.
And what they found was when they complained to their congressman what they thought was illegal, somebody had slipped into the law that they could literally bring people in to displace American workers for economic reasons.
Yeah. Now, for economic reasons.
That's right. Now, we're just the labor clause.
It's in the law that a corporation can displace an American worker simply because it's more profitable?
It was slipped into that law, and the insurance
Which law?
Workers... And I can't remember the name of the corporation, so I don't want to mention a corporation. But it did happen to the insurance people who were working in Hartford, Connecticut, and they had a Christmas breakfast. And after it was done, the man tapped on the glass and said, "Hold it, folks, don't anybody leave. When you go back to your workstation, you're going to find a body sitting at your workstation. And your job is to train them for 2 months to do your job. And then you'll get a letter of recommendation, like a couple of months' severance pay, and you're fired."
Yeah.
But when this happened, Hartford, Connecticut was was going through a recession. And then when they complained to their congressman, there was a little one line slipped into the law, which was written because they didn't have enough workers, they explained, that they could also displace American workers for economic reasons.
Tim, this is why you there in San Antonio and Patricia in Detroit and Mark in Eureka, California and Armin in Florida and Jim in Portland, Oregon and everybody else who's called today and everybody who's listening, we need to get politically active. The phone number of the Capitol, of the House, the Senate, and the White House is area code 202-224-3121. And if once a week you're not calling your elected representatives or sending them a letter or an email, the emails seem to be the least effective, phone calls and personal letters the most effective, we're not going to see change in America. We need to get politically active. Because anything that's in a law can be changed. It can be changed. You know, I mean, look at some of the laws that people thought would never be changed. It's the way, you know, slavery. Slavery existed for 6,000 years. It's in the Bible, for goodness sake. And yet, you know, enough people woke up and said, hey, this is toxic stuff. We need to do away with it. The right of women to vote has been changed. The direct election of the Senate. I mean, there have been so many changes that have happened over the years as a result of people saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And it's absolutely time, I think, for all of us. In fact, here you go. This is the message we need to send to Congress.
You've got to say, I'm a human being. My life has value.
I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs.
I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
There you go, Howard Beale and Network. So, what do you think?
Hello?
Tim, yeah, what do you think? You going to do it? I think we lost Tim. Tim, thanks for the call. I appreciate it there. Let's see. We have his Forever Autumn back on the line there, Char? No, okay. We'll go to Roy in Rio Rancho, New Mexico. You were at a Dean meetup last night. What happened?
It was neat. It was the first meetup, official meetup that I've ever gone to. And the energy was terrific. The turnout, they were planning on 50. There was probably 85 to 90, maybe more. Mm-hmm. We each were asked to write a personal letter to another resident in New Mexico to urge them to get out for our caucus on February 3rd and to personally write a person in Iowa saying get out and get involved. And if you can support Dean, that's even better. But get out and get involved. One of the things that was so that tickled me so much, you know, I'm 57 years old. I just changed my registration to Democrat. There was a guy last night that was even more than I used to be. He voted straight ticket since 1968.
As a Republican.
He said that when Dean came out and said that, yeah, as a Republican, when Dean came out and said, so we caught Saddam, big deal. We're no safer now than before. And the way he got savaged, he ended up being awake all night long and said he's right. And he switched, and he's working for Dean.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, and I'm not committed to Dean totally. I'm going to go to a Kucinich meetup, and I'm going to go to the General's meetup.
Yeah.
But the enthusiasm, there. I think there's some stuff out there. Maybe I'm wishful thinking.
No, it's happening. There is a movement, Roy. There is a movement happening across this country, not just Howard Dean. There is just, back before the 2000 election, way early in the election cycle, you know, when it was clear that George Bush was the nominee, my wife and I had a bet on this thing, or not a bet, but, you know, just a friendly disagreement. I told her that I was sure that George Bush was going to win, and she said she was sure that Al Gore was going to win. And
she was right.
And she was right, actually, ultimately. But I said that the reason that I thought George Bush would end up being president was because he had the most money. I mean, he outspent Al Gore almost 2-1, and money just tells so much in American politics. And he was willing to be, hit below the belt. He was willing to be absolutely brutal, and Al Gore was not. Al Gore ran an honorable campaign. And I said, in addition to that, I predict that Bush, if he shows the true colors that he showed in Texas, if he governs the United States the way he governed Texas, with free speech zones and passes for polluters, he made all pollution controls in Texas voluntary, and now Texas has the dirtiest air and water in the country. So if he does that nationally, he's going to rip the mask off the face of this so-called conservative movement, you know, so-called compassions, and show these guys for just the corporate panderers, the thieves and greed freaks that they are. And it's going to mobilize people, and it could bring about somebody who is going to replace him, who could be the next FDR, who could turn this country back. Because the problem is that Bill Clinton was doing, he did a lot of good, let's say, about the environment and national parks and things. But with regard to our trade policy and our economic policies, he was doing the same stuff. And I'm actually, in some ways, in some bizarre fashion, very grateful to George Bush for showing us the evil core of the evil's a misused word, but the true core of the con agenda. Roy, I got to move on. I got a couple more calls here. Thanks for sharing with us about the Dean meetup. I appreciate that. Neil in Alabama's on the line. Hey, Neil, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, how's it going, Tom?
Good. What's up?
Well, listen, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about some of the weapons that we've been using in wars. Besides the average stuff that people know about, like napalm. And then, of course, you was talking about HAARP and how these new type of weapons coming out. But did you know about some of the weapons that we use in the A1 Abrams tank, the penetrator rod made out of depleted uranium?
Yes, I do.
You do? You know what it does?
Well, it vaporizes on impact after it goes through the steel and produces an enormous amount of uranium oxide for people to inhale and get cancer down the road, if that's what you're talking about.
Well, no. I've seen pictures of this from a friend of mine that come back from the first Gulf War. When it penetrates a tank with the hatches sealed, it sucks every human being inside, everything that's not bolted down, out the other side of the hole made by the penetrator rod. These are terror weapons. These are weapons made to just literally scare the pants off the enemy.
You've got this rapid oxidation. I mean, it's burning like magnesium burns. If you've ever seen magnesium flares, you know, it's burning at thousands or tens of thousands of degrees, and it's consuming all of the oxygen, and therefore it would create a vacuum.
No, no matter how you look at it, we're making weapons that's more or less made to literally scare the pants off our enemies. In other words,
well, you know, that's something you do in war, though, on the one hand. On the other hand, my concern with the depleted uranium weapons is that basically they are the nuclear waste that we haven't figured out any other way to get rid of. And we have dumped thousands of tons of our domestic nuclear waste now on Bosnia, Kosovo, and Iraq, as penetrator weapons. And we've got all these GIs. You know, one third of all the GIs who served in the first Gulf War now have some variation of Gulf War syndrome. And a lot of people think depleted uranium had something to do with it. And the government's still trying to say, well, it's no big deal.
It's just the evil use of a. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, you know, there's possibly good uses for nuclear power. You know, I mean, but my God, you know, what are we doing to our world?
Yeah, I know. And you know, it takes 18 years. When you consider the amount of energy that goes into building a nuclear power plant, the amount of energy it takes to mine uranium, the amount of energy it takes to refine the uranium and then ship it to the plant, it takes 18 years before a nuclear power plant produces the first watt of actual generated electricity. The first 18 years, it's just paying back the amount of oil that was put in to do it. Neil, thanks for the call. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to the GAO report, many items needed to establish a laboratory for making biological warfare agents were being sold on the internet to the public from the Department of Defense's excess property inventory for pennies on the dollar. So the next time the Bush crime family says, well, it's time to invade, oh, let me close my eyes, spin me around, okay, let me point, ah, Syria, because they have weapons of mass destruction.
Ah, this is so much fun, spin me around again. Iran! Oh, I love this game! Uncle Dick, can I play this game somewhere?
The next time we do that, is it not incumbent upon us to ask where they got the equipment that they used to make weapons of mass destruction?
Price tag says $27 billion. It's yours for $1.29.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, helping you win the water cooler wars. John in Long Beach, California is on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the program. What's up?
Good morning. Oh, and that subject's on this worker displacement. Now, this is no big thing in and by itself, but I was at Home Depot this morning to pick up a couple of items, and when I went to check out, I had to do it myself. There was only one checker. The rest of the stands were all totally computerized.
Yeah, this is happening all across America.
Knocking out about at least four people out of work.
Now, yeah, but that's, you know, that's, that happens. I mean, that, you know, people were concerned about the thresher machine. I mean, you know, the technology, we're not going to stop technology, but what we can do is say that there has to be a living wage in America and that it has to apply to agricultural workers as well.
But when you knock people out of work and you have no place else for them to go.
Oh, it's not that there's no place for them to go, John. If this country had a rational energy policy, for example, just the manufacturing of solar cells, wind power, and other energy technologies could employ millions. This isn't just some fantasy on my part. I mean, you know, the science has been done. Jimmy Carter was telling us about this. In fact, he birthed an entire industry that Ronald Reagan killed when he came into office, and his first official act of office was to remove the solar collectors from the roof of the White House. There are lots of ways that American ingenuity can produce new jobs. We just have to get the conservatives out of the way, because all they're interested in is extracting more profit from what's here and using more and more fossil fuels. John, thanks for the call. I got to go to Shane in Ohio here. Shane, we just have a minute left. What's up?
Try to be brief. Just real quickly, I wanted to note, in my opinion, I really believe that this might be one of the most critical issues that the average citizen is facing in America today, this exportation of jobs.
Oh, yeah.
However, I am somewhat optimistic, because I think we might be reaching a day of reckoning. I think we're going to get to the point where it's going to start trickling up and affecting affecting middle to upper level managers.
It's happening right now. You're seeing the white collar workers, and people who have good salaries and who vote and participate in the political process, and they are freaking out. And there's, and as blue collar workers were 20 years ago, you're absolutely right, Shane. And I think that it's going to bring about a change in America. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us so far. We'll be back after the news.
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. The Bush administration on Wednesday reasserted its broad authority to declare American citizens to be enemy combatants, and it suggested the Supreme Court consider two prominent cases at the same time. The Justice Department, in a file briefed in the court, said it would seek an expedited appeal of a federal appeals court decision last month in the case of Joe Padilla, jailed as an enemy combatant in 2002. The divided Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit in New York ruled on December 18th that President Bush lacked the authority to indefinitely detain an American citizen like Mr. Padilla, who was arrested on American soil simply by declaring him an enemy combatant. Insurgents lopped mortars at a U.S. military base west of Baghdad, killing one soldier and wounding 34. Six mortars struck logistical base jets north of Baghdad Wednesday, hitting soldiers' barracks, U.S. officials said. The toll had earlier been put at 35 wounded, with some of the soldiers listed as seriously injured. The seriously injured soldiers were evacuated for treatment. The latest death toll raised to 216, the number of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq since George Bush declared hostilities over on May 1st. Over the course of the guerrillas' 9-month war of attrition, the rebels have taken to firing mortars off by remote control. George Bush's twin daughters have shown little interest in their family's tradition of public service and are unhappy about the limelight they find themselves in, a new book says. Jenna and Barbara Bush have not campaigned or reined in their adolescent rebellions, Washington Post reporter Ann Gerhardt says in the book published this week, The Perfect Wife, The Life and Choices of Laura Bush. They have not appeared engaged in any of the pressing issues their generation will inherit, nor shown empathy for the struggles facing their mother and their father, Gerhardt says. Word of a new U.S. Army plan to pay soldiers up to $10,000 to reenlist evoked laughter from troops in Iraq. Man, they can't pay me enough to stay here, said a 23-year-old specialist from the Army's 4th Infantry Division as he manned the checkpoint with Iraqi police outside the city of Baghdad. His comments reflect a sentiment not uncommon among soldiers in Iraq since the Army announced the increased reenlistment bonuses for soldiers in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Kuwait on Monday. More after this.
Did you know that less than 1% of our government's annual budget goes toward helping people in other countries? Helping create a healthy future for people overseas helps us here at home, too, by ensuring a more peaceful and prosperous world. Call your U.S. Senators and Representative today at 202-224-3121 and tell them you support our foreign aid programs. That's 202-224-3121.
Three Florida fugitives scrambled into an attic to elude police but surrendered when they found a human skeleton in their hideaway, police said on Tuesday. The two men and a woman were wanted on probation violation charges and climbed into the attic to hide when police tracked them to an apartment building in Daytona Beach on Monday. Police searched the apartment and noticed a hatch leading to an attic above a second-story bedroom and opened it. One of the suspects called out, "Get me out of here. There's a dead body up here." The three were arrested and investigators were still trying to identify the skeletal remains. This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Ah, good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I have exciting news for those of you who worry that American industry is losing its creative edge. America West Airlines has just implemented a stunning innovation that is certain to revive this sagging industry and assure profits, new jobs, and happy skies as far as the horizon extends. The innovation? Ads on tray tables. Yes, just when you thought that surely there was not another space left anywhere in our country for corporations to put more ads, along comes America West to slap you right in the face with an ad every time you flip down your tray table on one of its flights. The airline is selling ads to cover every tray top on each of its planes, and it already has Visa, Mercedes-Benz, and Bank of America on board for this flighty idea. Advertisers pay $3,300 per plane to hawk their stuff via tray tables to what they call a captive audience. Indeed, an audience literally strapped to its seats. Tray tables are said to be the brainstorm of marketeer Nick Pagic. Seems more like a slight breeze than a brainstorm to me, but this is what passes for innovation in corporate America today. Pagic gushes that ads on tray tops will, quote, be one of the most powerful and influential media. Oh, sure, I'm going to rush off the plane and buy a Mercedes because of an ad on my tray table. No wonder our economy is in trouble. If you think you can escape by flying on some other carrier, America West marketing honcho warns that it seems to be a no-brainer for other airlines to follow suit once we've blazed the trail. It's enough to make you reach for the barf bag. They admit that tray table ads are just a start, as airlines seek other ways to jack up their revenues. Yeah, why not run a constant stream of ads over the PA system, or start charging for pillows, or assessing a fee for those who want to have an oxygen mask available to them? This is Jim Hightower saying, or here's a loopy idea. Why not improve service so flying becomes a pleasant experience rather than an ordeal?
Hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
as you
I was
know.
Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I want to see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, friends. Two big stories in today's news that I think are worth really focusing on. One is Jon Snow, who's our Secretary of Treasury of the Treasury, has come out and said that all is well, don't worry, with the economy, and that the, quote, mantra, end quote, here we have Jon Snow quoting Hinduism, the mantra of the Bush administration from now for the next 5 years, they say, because they say it's going to take them 5 years to get the budget deficits down to 2% of GDP. They're right now 4%. 4%. The budget deficits that the Bush administration is running up equal 4% of the entire gross domestic product. This has never happened before in the history of the United States. And at the same time, coincidentally, today was the anniversary of the No Child Left Behind Act, which is underfunded by either $7 or $9 billion. And, in fact, here I can... I've got it right here. Yeah, $7 billion. And the International Monetary Fund weighed in. Now, when the IMF speaks, we better listen. The IMF has the International Monetary Fund is not an agency of the United States government. The IMF has the power to do some serious harm. I mean, their charter is to try to do serious good, you know, to try and keep things stable in the international banking community, to have some oversight of currencies between nations. And they work with the World Bank to loan money to countries for appropriate development on the theory that it will loan you a little, will loan you a billion, and if you put that into things that will create more money, then you'll be able to pay us back that billion, plus you'll be a wealthier nation. It's important, by the way, to make a distinction about what that is. If the United States, if any country, spends $1 billion on, for example, roads and bridges, those will be used for years and years to provide transportation, and they will facilitate commerce, and that $1 billion is part of an infrastructure on which tens of billions or hundreds of billions or thousands of billions of dollars can be earned over the lifetime of whatever it is that you're building, whether it's a bridge or a road or an airport or a railway, you know, a railway infrastructure, which we're desperately in need of more of here in the United States, or public buildings or a local swimming pool. I mean, whatever it may be, if it goes to a productive use and it has a decent lifespan, ultimately its cost is going to be exceeded by its return. Sometimes the return is in hard dollars. Often the return is in social value. We have many things. Parks, for example. You can't measure in dollars the return of the cost of building a park. But it is a very real return in terms of enhancing the quality of life, reducing air pollution because all the trees in the park are absorbing toxins and things, providing a place for kids to play. I mean, the parks do things that we all agree are socially important. And so even though we can't necessarily put a dollar value on it, we know both intuitively and the scientists, the social scientists out there have demonstrated that the small investment in public parks gets a large return in terms of the quality of our lives. And you recall the founders took John Locke's line, life, liberty, and the ownership of property, and replaced it with life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that the quality of our lives is actually something that we care about in the United States, in any liberal democracy, that we care about. And so, on the other hand, if you take that $1 billion and you invest it in something that immediately vanishes when it's used, or that you hope will never be used, for example, nuclear weapons, or bullets, or bombs. I mean, you drop a bomb, and say you spent, $1 million for a cruise missile. You fire that cruise missile, it goes boom, and the $1 million is gone. There's no return on that investment. Now, there are some who would suggest, those from the rape, pillage, plunder community, would suggest, well, actually, there is a return on that $1 million because if you use that cruise missile to conquer a nation that has natural resources, be they labor or oil or gold or diamonds, and you can then exploit those resources, you can bring those resources back to this country, then that $1 million invested in that cruise missile actually is producing a return. And it's true. It's that was the philosophy upon which the Spanish Empire was built, the empire, the philosophy upon which the French Empire was built in Napoleon. It's the philosophy upon which the British Empire certainly was built. The United States has never, however, well, you could argue in the Spanish-American War that we were, you know, in the some of the banana republics that we supported, but we really weren't looking at it, in my opinion, it's so much in, okay, we're going to put this amount of money into the military, and it's going to be returned to us in terms of profits and resources from elsewhere. Yeah, maybe at a few times in our history, but it has never been the policy of the United States. It's certainly never been the overt policy of the United States. And here we have this situation now where within the administration, within this conservative administration, you've got this battle going on between the cons and the neocons and the Republicans. And apparently there are three different groups. I mean, over what our international policy should be. And one of the first shots that was fired in this battle was this War Against Evil book by Richard Perle, saying basically that we need to be the world's policeman. We need to, you know, that the options are clear and the choices are stark: victory or Holocaust, and that's it. But anyway, to get back to the IMF, the point of this is that if we invest our wealth in things that are renewing, then, you know, we can see a positive economic outcome down the road. If we invest our wealth in things that disappear, which is in our society principally the military, and not the military as in the salaries of soldiers, which George is so reluctant to pay, and they've been actually cutting combat pay and all these kind of things. Those investments actually return because the soldiers take the salary and they buy things at the local store and the local vendors, and, you know, it just echoes down the chain. Every dollar spent becomes $4, $5, $6, $7, $8 before it finally peters out. But that cruise missile doesn't. So anyhow, you can choose how you're going to spend your money, and ideally you spend as much money as you have coming in. So here we have the International Monetary Fund yesterday issued a report in which they described the state of the United States government's finances as, and I quote, perilous. They go on to say that they urged Congress and the White House to take steps to quickly rein in the deficits. This I'm reading from a story by Joseph Ribello of Dow Jones Newswires. And the headline, IMF researchers, U.S. budget gaps endanger global economy. This is not from your standard wild-eyed left-wing website. This is from Dow Jones and the International Monetary Fund. The article by Joseph Ribello goes on to say, although federal tax cuts and spending increases since 2001 bolstered the economy in the short run, the report says, quote, large U.S. fiscal deficits also pose significant risks for the rest of the world, end quote. And they talk about how the main risk, actually there's a couple of risks. One risk is that we're going to get in such a deep hole that we can't dig ourselves out of it. I mean, they're just doing the simple math, and this isn't the Democratic Party or, you know, anybody with any kind of agenda other than international fiscal stability. This is the International Monetary Fund, and they looked at the Bush budget and they said, "You guys are going to face a $47 trillion shortfall." We're at $7 trillion right now, a $47 trillion shortfall if you don't stop these things. And the result of this is that you spend so much more than you have that the value of your currency becomes worth less, and worth less, and worth less, and worthless. This is what happened to Germany in the 1920s. That led to the hyperinflation where it took literally a wheelbarrow full of money to buy a loaf of bread. This is an absolute disaster. So that's one concern. And in fact, they said, quote, We think to some degree over the past year this has occurred, and this is one of the reasons why there has been weakness in the U.S. dollar. In other words, the world is voting, and they're saying Bush economic policies are a disaster. The U.S. dollar has dropped by a third relative to most major currencies like the euro. By a third. The world is saying, you guys are one-third less wealthy than you used to be. We trust you one-third less than we used to. And, of course, the second risk is that foreign investors will no longer buy our debt. And if foreign investors no longer buy our debt, we are really in big trouble. Then we have the Argentina scenario. The warning where the country just collapses, it goes into bankruptcy. The warning, and has to borrow money from the World Bank to simply, you know, keep the lights on. And the IMF issued this same kind of warning to Argentina a decade ago. This is a real concern. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Nathan in San Francisco has some thoughts on this. Hey Nathan, welcome to the program.
Hi. I just heard you talking about productive capital, and at the end, I think we got into the multiplier effect. And I just thought that people should understand the difference, if I could elaborate and flesh that out.
Sure, we got about 40 seconds.
Okay, perfect. When you buy something like train tracks or a machine or something, it actually makes things of value. And so the investment in buying that trickles down to the economy. At the same time, what you've made is actually of value to the people. If you make something like a weapon, sure, there's a multiplier effect. You paid someone to make it, and they're going to buy groceries and so on. But it's not useful in terms of making value for the people who invested in it.
Exactly.
That's it.
Yeah, okay. Well said. You said it. You said very succinctly and very clearly what I kind of fumbled around there with for two or three minutes. Thank you, Nathan. I appreciate
it. Thank you.
And so here we have the IMF. Now, what is Jon Snow's response to the IMF report? This is incredible. The Secretary of Treasury of the United States, the guy who's responsible for our currency, his response to the IMF report. I'll give that to you right after this break, and then we've got to tell you about what's going on with Iraq. Stay tuned.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world, books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference, about the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in Swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
There's nothing like poverty to get you into heaven. They got a lot of wine and fish up there and the bread's on heaven. They got a lot of ears that I heard a whip go crack. Lots of missing toes and fingers and scars upon their back. Daddy's been working too much for days and days and doesn't eat and he never says much.
Welcome back to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Still pushing tax cuts. Congress Daily reports. This is the, you know, the newsletter in Washington, D.C. Everybody in the Hill reads it. Reports that despite the IMF report, despite exploding deficits, drowning in an ocean of red ink so that George can hyperstimulate the economy with borrowed money so that things will look good before November of 2004. Jon Snow continued the push to make the president's massive tax cuts for the wealthy permanent. You get this? He said that cutting spending will become a part of the mantra of the administration. But according to IMF economist Charles Collins, quote, even assuming tight spending limits and a sharp rebound of revenues, this would still leave a deficit of around 2% of GDP with the economy operating at full capacity. And, of course, the economy is not operating at full capacity. They're not making the slight cuts. And 2% of GDP is way too much to have as a budget deficit. See, the problem is we have $7 trillion in debt now. When Jimmy Carter left office, the United States debt was it was less than $1 trillion. And Ronald Reagan, George Bush, and George Bush Jr. have now added $6 trillion to our debt. This is just absolutely mind-numbing. And the problem is that money has to be paid back. We are spending hundreds of billions of dollars every year just paying interest on Ronald Reagan's debt. We're still paying interest on the debt that Ronald Reagan ran up in order to make good times in America so he could get reelected in 1980, whatever it was, 4 or 6. When Reagan hyped the economy. And, of course, it came back to haunt George W. Bush with the Reagan recession. Bill Clinton finally got a balanced budget. Finally actually showed a surplus, began to pay down that debt that Ronald Reagan left us. By the way, Jimmy Carter had proposed a balanced budget as well. And the last president before that to propose a balanced budget, as I recall, was John Kennedy. But here we have $7 trillion. If we don't start, you know, it's not acceptable to have a deficit of 2% of GDP because we're adding to that. We need to have a budget that is 2 or 3% over GDP so that we can pay down that debt. Right now, every man, woman, and child in America owes somewhere between $30,000 and $45,000, depending on whose math you're using. Since 2001, only 5%. Now, what about the... Okay, you say, well, people say, oh, it's spending is out of control. Well, okay, let's look at that. Since 2001, only 5% of the increased costs have been due to domestic discretionary spending, while 28% has been due to increases in defense, homeland and security, and international affairs. By contrast, the administration's tax cuts accounted... This from the IMF... The tax cuts accounted for 55% of increased costs, a figure that will rise to 57% in 2004. Sorry, that was from the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, those numbers. This is scary stuff. We got to do something about it. We can do it in November. Stay tuned. This is Tom Hartman. I'll be right back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Hibernation might be the key to healthier organ transplants. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Hibernating ground squirrels can give us insight into more successful liver transplants. University of Wisconsin-Madison veterinary researcher Hannah Carey says hibernating animals keep their internal organs healthy for long periods, even while their body temperatures drop close to freezing. Carey says it's similar to the cold storage human organs are put into while awaiting transplant, but human tissue is often damaged during this refrigeration.
The temperature that people store organs like livers in the cold happens to be the same body temperature that animals often hibernate. The species we study can go for up to at least 3 weeks straight in a cold stored condition. So we said, can these animals tell us how to maintain the viability of an organ with long-term cold storage?
Carrie and her research team transplanted the livers of rats which don't hibernate and ground squirrels which do. The transplanted rat livers were in far worse shape than those of the hibernators. For comparison, Carey transplanted the livers of ground squirrels during non-hibernation season. They fared somewhere in between the hibernators and the rats.
And that tells us that being a species that hibernate probably just confers protection because there's already that ability built into their genes to be able to protect themselves that allow their organs to resist these extreme states.
Carey wants to identify the molecules that protect the ground squirrel's livers in the cold. She says that could help doctors precondition human organs awaiting transplant, increasing their storage time and improving the likelihood of successful operations. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with Animal?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
It's the Tom Hartman Program, where despair is not an option. Brought to you today by the Newsletter Factory in Marietta, Georgia, Atlanta, Georgia. The Newsletter Factory, newsletterfactory.com. If you're doing any kind of marketing or communications activity, you want to talk to customers or to your own employees or to your group or your civic club or your dean bunch or whatever it may be, talk to the Newsletter Factory. They do remarkable, remarkable stuff. And if you'd like to call in and weigh in on this topic, and from here I'm going to go into the war in Iraq in about a minute and a half, but feel free. 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937 if you have thoughts. What blows my mind is that this isn't more of an issue, that more people aren't absolutely freaked out about this. I mean, when you think about it, you look at the history of what we call civilization, and you know, there have been a few guys, arguably Alexander the Great comes to mind, who basically were just megalomaniacs and went out in search of, lands to conquer. And Alexander burned himself out. He died before, as I recall, before he was 30 or, you know, within a few years thereof. But most wars have been the result of a nation or an empire experiencing economic collapse. When Rome had deforested all of Italy back 2,000 years ago, and they literally had deforested all of Italy, and they had run out, they had such a crisis in fuel, because wood was their fuel supply, that it cost more to build fires to smelt silver than the silver was worth. It caused a currency crisis. This was around 50 or 60 BC. They built a fleet of ships to go off and conquer the rest of Europe, because they were out of fuel, and they had to get fuel from someplace else. They were experiencing what we would call an economic depression. The British Empire went through rough times and started reaching out across the world. The Spanish Empire was in terrible straits before Columbus and Pizarro and these guys discovered all this wealth in North America. Most of the wars are, you know, arguably World War II. Adolf Hitler would not have risen if Germany had not experienced hyperinflation and an economic disaster. Tojo couldn't have had the kind of power that he had in Japan if Japan hadn't gone through wrenching times in the 20s and 30s. And so here you've got the situation where economic disaster produces worldwide disaster. And we are just rolling down that hill so fast, and this snowball's getting bigger and bigger. This the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities report also notes that, quote, federal spending is currently lower than in every year from 1975 through 1996, end quote. In other words, major cuts have already been made. They say the conservatives say, well, we need to just cut more out of the budget. Keep in mind, only 5% of the increase has been discretionary spending. 28% has been defense. And 55% is the tax cuts responsible for this deficit. In other words, major cuts have already been made, and to make any more would cut even more out of the basic services, the most basic services that we provide in the United States to maintain a decent quality of life. So anyway, your thoughts on this. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, and David in San Francisco is on the line. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. I've been really interested in this for a number of different years, and the thing that to me is the solution is the Jubilee. And as I've studied this throughout history, in some ways, the Enron records disappear, and you can never really know whether the books were balanced in, say, the Roman Empire or in the various falls of various civilizations. But I would suspect that the super rich of every past famous empire essentially were so corrupt that they looted their own country, they ruined their own currency, and then rather than get caught, they allowed their nation to fall in order to write off the books.
Yeah, you're not speculating, David. That you're absolutely right, and the record is quite clear. And let me just explain very quickly, if I may interrupt you for just a moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
To our listeners, what the Jubilee is. If you go back and you read the Old Testament, the ancient Hebrews had this notion that when wealth reached a certain threshold, that it became corrupting and destructive. And so there were these cycles. Of course, there's the seven-day cycle of Sabbath every 7 days. Every seventh day is the day of rest. And then there was a Sabbath for the fields, for the crops of every seventh year, where you actually didn't grow crops, which turns out to be very good agricultural practice. And then there was this economic cycle of every seventh 7 years. So 7 times 7 is 49. So the year that followed the seventh 7 year was the 50th year. And every 50 years, all the slaves were freed. All the income was equalized. Everybody put everything that they owned. The rich put everything that they owned. The poor put everything into a giant pot. And it got split up evenly among everybody. And everything started all over again. And so, and because this happened, people knew that they could accumulate, but they couldn't accumulate forever. They could only accumulate until the next Jubilee. And people behaved differently because the social expectation was different. The possibility of dynasties didn't exist. Just as during the times of the founding of this country, the founders put into place inheritance taxes and other kinds of taxes that prevented any huge empires from arising. And those are the things that got nuked, from our tax code and from our laws in the, during the time of the, the 1880s, the Gilded Age. And so, anyhow, back to your explanation, David. Take it from
there.
Well,
just if I were to extrapolate on what I think is going on with the Bush and the super corrupt rich, they've known for decades now that the books have been more and more skewed. For example, J. Edgar Hoover for 50 years essentially said that organized crime did not exist.
That was because he was being blackmailed by Carlos Marcello.
Meyer Lansky was essentially dumping all of the organized crime money into the stock market. He was doing a lot of methods to essentially clean up organized crime's money, but you were essentially dealing with the same thugs with the same amount of wealth, but they were getting more and more control of these corporations. So now we've essentially gotten into a point 75 years, let's say, after J. Edgar Hoover came into power in the FBI, where organized crime has had this opportunity to dump their money into the stock market and into the financial management of the United States. These guys have so ruined the books. You can look at it with the Arthur Andersen scandal. The other accounting firms are also just as corrupt. And they essentially are being blackmailed, probably under the threat of death, you know, to keep these books dirty. And so essentially, if I were this pack of thieves, what I would do is do everything I could do to shift the money out of the United States as fast as possible, to get it overseas and transfer it into some other nation's economy, then haul as many of the U.S. weapons out of the nation, park them overseas, so that finally when the United States wakes up, it's going to be broke and defenseless. And
they're sucking us dry, in other words.
Yeah, but it's with us. In other words, they're trying to change the currencies. They're shifting their money from dollars into currencies around the world. They're, sure. With this project for a new American century, you can see that they're plainly trying to invest in. You look at the map of the pipelines. These pipelines from northern Afghanistan and Uzbekistan and whatnot, they're going to take that oil and shift it into either India or sweatshops in western China or Pakistan. They're going through the Kashmir, so that's why the Kashmir is always up in arms. And then, of course, the oil from north of Iraq is going to go up into the former Soviet Union, into the sweatshops there. That's what the whole old Europe.
Yeah, this is fueling the cheap labor empire. But David, how do you bring this back to Jubilee? I know that there is a movement in the United States of people who are advocating Jubilee, and in fact, the former World Bank economist. He wrote a book about. It'll come to me when I'm not trying to think of it. Anyhow, it's something like, it's not small, it's beautiful, and it wasn't Shoemaker. But anyhow, he suggested that maybe we should consider something like that.
Well, it absolutely makes sense, because if you look at global warming and the problems of the environment, we have to go completely off budget in order to save our lives just environmentally. If we're going to allow these corrupt people to try to manage the budget as we're trying to save our lives, they're going to always be looking at kickbacks. They're going to be looking at cashing in on saving our lives. They'll be cutting corners.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing they're trying to do with Social Security. Let us get our hands on it, and we'll take good care of you. So, David, I got a couple more calls. I got to move on here very quickly.
No trouble. Just quickly.
What's your proposal?
The solution to me is something beyond Jubilee. It's to boycott all of those different types of currency, because if they're going to shift their American wealth into some other kinds of currency, we've got to boycott those ones as well. So let's just completely go off budget, boycott all the different types of money, hunker down into saving the planet without any type of currency. We've got the skills and abilities. We've got opposable thumbs. We've got a lot of knowledge.
You're talking about this as national policy, not individual policy.
I'm talking international. People around the world are just as destroyed by these new diseases and global warming and whatnot. It's going to be easy enough to convince the people of China or Uzbekistan to save their lives environmentally as it is to convince somebody in New York City. So, you know, to me, the solution is hunkering down without currency. Because if we allow the currency to destroy our lives or to manage our lives, we're never going to be able to have the ability to save our lives environmentally.
Yeah. Well said, David. Thank you, and I appreciate the call. You raise an interesting point, and I think an important point. I'm not sure that cutting ourselves off entirely from the planet is the solution. That's the kind of solution, by the way, that the folks who say that we need to return to the gold standard are subscribing to. And the problem with that is that our economy it would require such a massive readjustment of the value of the dollar that we would go through an upheaval that would be destabilizing ultimately. It would be terrible. Tad in New Mexico is on the line. Tad, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're live on the air, and it's 14 minutes before the hour.
Yeah, this is Theo in Los Alamos, New Mexico. Listening.
Oh, I'm sorry, Theo.
ATRC.
Yep, and, I read it wrong.
Yeah, I heard last night on Radio Canada International that the IMF's proposed fix for the debt was reform of Social Security and Medicare, which is great news for us recent retirees here.
Well, actually, the IMF didn't suggest that. I've got the actual reference here. What the IMF said was that John Snow had said that, let's see, I've got it here someplace. Snow had said that the administration, here we go, but according to, anyhow, I give you the bottom line. I don't have the exact numbers. John Snow and this administration have said, not to worry, we can cut spending and even make our tax cuts permanent, and we can get it down, we can get the budget deficit down to 2% of GDP. The IMF said, you guys are playing with funny numbers because you're not including the increases that are going to come down the road with Social Security, which is still operating at a surplus, by the way, and the Medicaid and Medicare increases that have just been passed into law. You're not including either one of those two things in those numbers. And when you include those numbers, that's where they come up with this $47 trillion debt. And they weren't saying, therefore, you need to do away with Medicaid and Social Security. They were just pointing out that this administration is lying to us and to the, even to the IMF.
Yeah, their word was that the they said reform on RCI, and also that Bush's tax cuts were just fine. So that's what I heard. But for what it's worth, Tom.
Yeah, I suspect that I'd be surprised if the IMF was to take a position like that. Although the IMF, you know, they go into these structural structural changes and restructuring of economies and things and. In countries where they basically go in and say, you can't spend money on social programs anymore. You've only got to spend money on things that help corporations because they are productive and people are not. And so, you know, it's possible. It's possible. Theo, thanks for sharing that with us. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, we just have about three-quarters of a minute here, but I can hold you over the break if you need.
Okay, you may want to just talk about the last night on C-SPAN, they had a talk for the Brookings Institute, sponsored dealing with free trade. That was very interesting. And Craig Roberts, an economist from the, I believe he's an economist, from the Hoover Institution, at one point said, I keep saying the United States will be a third world country in 20 years.
Yeah.
And you
well,
get the transcript.
We're moving there quick.
Yeah, you can get the transcript of this at brookings.edu or go to cspan.org and see it. It's pretty amazing. It's kind of scary when they talk about how the movement of capital and so forth. It's, you know, labor cannot follow the movement of capital.
Yeah, capital is fleeing the United States right now. It's a disaster. 1-800. Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for that call. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
The Mike Molloy Show.
Now in Sacramento, there's Conan the Groper promising he's changed.
Have behaved badly sometimes. Yes, it is true that I was on rowdy movie sets, and I have done things that were not right, which I thought then was playful, but now I recognize that I have offended people.
I thought I was being playful. Just because I grabbed her breast, I thought I was playful. Kathy's laughing at my Schwarzenegger. I'm sorry, I can't do it. All right, you do it.
I've groped and molested women in the past, but if you elect me, I promise I'll never do it again, because you know powerful politicians never abuse their power for sex.
Okay.
And that's how it's done.
Okay.
Hello, cutie pie. Your clothes, give them to me. Now. Come on.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
At Animal Talk, we think deep thoughts. We think about things that most people don't think about, such as, do dogfish chase catfish? Do jellyfish taste good with peanut butter? These are things that bother us. Why is it that Donald Duck doesn't wear any pants, but when he comes out of the shower, he wraps a towel around his waist?
Dude, you need a hobby.
Oh.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
When the last child cries for a crust of bread, when the last man dies for just words that he said, when they're sheltered over the poor. We shall be free. When the last thing we notice is the color of skin, and the first thing we look for is the beauty within. When the skies and the oceans are clean again, then we shall be free.
Welcome back. Transforming the world by revitalizing democracy. Our challenge, our birthright and our birth obligation. We are born into this great nation with the obligation to improve it and to share, I believe, and to share with others who are less fortunate ways that they themselves can improve their lives. I want to thank Louise Hartman here in Vermont for producing the program today, Brad Walrod in New York City for editing our music and producing it, John Lucas and Shar Jones for engineering the program in Detroit, and to the folks in our chat room who dropped in and spent the day with us, thank you very much. So nice to have you there. And not only that, I suspect you all are having a good time, too. So it sure looks like it. The Jonathan Edelstein, you've perhaps, maybe the name sounds a little familiar to you. You're not sure exactly why. Well, he was one of the two Democrats on the FCC Board of Commissioners. There are five commissioners. Two are Democrats and two are Republicans by law. The president has to appoint two Democrats and two Republicans, and then the head guy gets appointed by the president, and he can be either one. In this case, of course, he's the Republican Michael Powell, son of Colin Powell, former member of the board of directors of AOL, Time Warner, and a major stockholder in that corporation. And Edelstein was the guy who was saying, no, it's not a good idea for these huge media monopolies to exist. It's anti-democratic that we should, if anything, reduce the ownership requirements. And now his term has expired, and it looks as though George Bush is not going to renominate him, even though everybody, even Republicans, say he's a good guy. You know, he's doing what he thinks is right. But this is an administration that takes names and punishes its enemies. So Jonathan Edelstein may be in trouble. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for joining us, sharing your afternoon with us. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the... You've been listening to the Tom Hartman program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information. Copyright 2004. What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah. You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
The following program is recommended for mature individuals and may contain material unsuitable.